This is episode number 64 with Amanda LeCount. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Hello, hello, all you awesome humans, and welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today and with my inspiring and multi-talented guest, Amanda LeCount. Now, if you've ever been told that you don't have what it takes to accomplish your biggest dreams, then you are going to love this episode because Amanda shares about her journey of being kicked out of a dance team at 10 years old after being told by a studio director that her body didn't fit his vision for his team. And you're also going to hear how she used that judgment as fuel to rise even higher to become the well-known hip-hop dancer, actress, choreographer, singer, model, and influencer that she is today. Now, Amanda's performed on The Ellen Show, Dancing with the Stars, The Voice, and on stages with artists like Meghan Trainor, Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, and Lizzo. Now, she's even had her own national dance tour, Amanda at LeCount Live, and she most recently performed in Rihanna's Savage X Fenty Show at New York Fashion Week. So yes, my friends, Amanda has been dancing her beautiful body on some really big stages and with some of the biggest names in showbiz, and she's proof that you decide your future, not the opinion of someone else. And Amanda doesn't let criticism keep her down, and because she's experienced countless ignorant comments about her body, Amanda is now on a mission to celebrate body diversity and acceptance through her body positivity movement. At just 18 years old, Amanda is bringing representation and inclusivity to an industry that desperately needs it. And she's created this through her very popular hashtag, which is hashtag breaking the stereotype. And it not only promotes body positivity, but also the belief that any body can be a dancer, which is so true. Any body really can. And Amanda is a testament to that. And so today you're also going to hear how Amanda's passion is dance, but her true goal is to inspire others to follow their dreams by fiercely pursuing hers. Now, I have a really good feeling that y'all are going to be inspired by Amanda's powerful outlook on life and how she fiercely goes after her dreams and how she always leads from her heart. So I can't wait to hear what you think of today's episode. Make sure you share this out, since I know a lot of peeps struggle with being judged or rejected by others in pursuit of their dreams. And this episode will show you how to let that fear go and how to stand in your power. So share this out. Take a screenshot of the podcast that you're listening to. Tag me on Instagram, which is at I am Stephanie Kwong, so I know that you're listening and so that I can give you some love right back. Okay, let's do this. Here we go with Amanda. Welcome, Amanda, to the Rise Higher podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You guys missed it. We were shimmy shaking with our shoulders. Yeah, there we go. We get some dance action here. I'm already getting Amanda seeing her badass moves live in person. Amanda, thank you so much for being on the show. As I shared with you before we started rolling, I heard you on Marie Forleo's show, and just seeing, well, first of all, you're 18 now, right?
Yes.
Your level of poise, your grace, your power, and your inspiration that you've already created at such a young age is really inspiring, and just showing that at any age, you can step up to be an inspiration first for yourself
and for others. And I want to dive into your journey today of how you've really come to inspire yourself to follow your own dreams, and then how you're doing that to ignite that in other people.
Yeah, that sounds great. And thank you so much for all those compliments. Oh my gosh.
You're so welcome. Well deserved. So I know that you are, and just so you all know, I did say this in the intro, but Amanda is a hip hop dancer. She's an actress, choreographer, singer, model, and influencer. And you've been dancing since you were 2 years old. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I started dancing when I was two as well.
Oh, wow. Not many people. A lot of people start at three, because at a lot of studios, you're not even allowed to start at two, because most of the two-year-olds obviously are just going to go on stage and stand there and cry.
Yes.
So my mom kind of had to fight to get me into dance at that young.
But. Wow. So what was the style of dancing you started in?
Yeah, so I feel like it's pretty normal to start with the combo classes. And combo classes are kind of short increments of different styles for kids that can't be in 3 hour, like they can't dance for 3 hours straight pretty much. So they can't do a 1 hour ballet and then a 1 hour jazz, because they'll just be done. Like in the first class, they'll be out of it. So it's like 30 minutes of ballet and then 30 minutes of tap and 30 minutes of jazz is pretty normal. So that's what I started with. And I didn't even get introduced to hip hop until I was maybe six.
Mm.
But then I fell in love with
it. So hip hop is your jam?
Mm-hmm.
Full on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was more classically trained. I did tap, jazz, ballet for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I hit high school that I was like, ooh, this hip hop stuff is pretty rad. But then yeah. My body got too structured sometimes to be able mm-hmm. to hit certain things. I'm gonna have to come dance with you at some point.
Okay.
But so with your dance journey, what inspired you even to get into it? Did your mom just put you into dance classes, or is it something that you knew at 2 years old that you're going, I want to do that?
Well, I feel like it might have been a little bit of both. Obviously, I was only two, so I wasn't yeah. really aware of what I was doing. But I'd always go to the studio because I have two older sisters, and they were in dance at that time. And so since I was so young, I'd go with my mom to the studio, and I'd just be looking through the window and, like, bouncing. And she just could tell that I wanted to be in there so badly. And since they were already there, she just signed me up, and I'm the only one that continued to do it. They both stopped to do other amazing things, but I just loved it, and I've never stopped.
Wow. And I know that there was a point in time in your life where there could have been a little pause in your dancing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So I'll tell the story. I tell it so often, but people actually really enjoy it. When I was maybe, I don't know the exact age, but around 11, that's the general age, I went to this certain studio in Colorado where I'm from. And this studio director, I'm not going to say his name for privacy reasons that he doesn't deserve, but going to keep it, you know, to myself. But this certain studio director actually begged me to go to his studio. I went to one of his master classes, and he was like, please go to my studio. I'd love to train you. I'd love to work with you, and all these different things. And my mom and I both agreed, like, oh, wow, he's showing an interest. Maybe, you know, I'll improve a lot if he cares so much and he'll put a lot of effort and time into my dancing. And we went for a year. I did really good that year. I won this, doesn't really matter. I worked really hard and all these different things. And it got to the end of the year, and he asked for a meeting with my mom and I. And in the meeting, he literally said, I'm sorry, but your body type just doesn't fit my vision I have for my team. And my mom and I were so just surprised. Like, it came out of nowhere. And also, I just want to say that when he asked me to come to his studio, I've been this size my whole life.
I've
been this size for the people in the back.
Nothing has changed.
No, it's not like,
wow.
I mean, I wouldn't understand it even if that was the case. Even if I was really skinny and then I gained a few pounds, that should not change. I don't know. That shouldn't have any effect on my dancing or what you think of me. But like I said, I've been this size my whole life. And so it was really weird that at the end of the year, even though we knew what I looked like this whole time, all of a sudden said, you know, my body type isn't good enough for his team, pretty much.
Wow. Had you ever experienced any other judgment even leading up to that point around your size in dancing, maybe even in the classes or from other teachers, from the students?
Yeah, I would say that was my first, like, real experience, especially in person, and them actually saying that, you know, my body type is a problem and an issue. But I definitely would say that it wasn't the first time that I've, realized or known mm-hmm. that there's something kind of different about me and people aren't necessarily the most accepting of it. But I had never had someone actually say to my face, like, your body type isn't good enough for my team, or you can't be a dancer because your body. But I would get looks sometimes, and like, just, you could kind of feel it. They don't have to say anything. You can kind of feel in the energy, like, they don't think you should be there. But that was my first experience, like an actual interaction with someone.
And I'm sure you get this question a lot, but I'd love to dive in. Like, how was that experience for you as an 11-year-old, hearing someone that you thought was going to just encourage you then come in to judge you?
Yeah, like I said, it my mom and I were so surprised because it really came out of nowhere. He had never even mentioned a word about my body type. He had never hinted at anything or like judged me at all. I actually really enjoyed being there, and it was a really good environment for me. And if he wouldn't have done this, I probably would have stayed there because I really liked it. But I don't know how I processed it that young. I mean, my mom and other people that I know have told me that I've always been pretty mature and pretty wise in my head, at least. I can be fun sometimes and silly, but when I need to, I know how to be mature and how to just think for myself. But I just think that even at 11, I knew that even though it took some time to get to this point, of course, I was down at first and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, if it's going to be that hard to even make people respect me in the dance world, should I even try or should I do something else? But once I got past that, I realized that this is the only passion I have. It's the only thing I love to do. And if I stop doing it, I know I'm going to regret it later. And it was also hard just because he was my mentor, and especially since I was little, I looked up to him so much. And so when he said that, it was kind of like, he's right. Like, there was no question about it, just because, like I said, he was my mentor. He was, you know, the person I looked up to the most. And so at first I was like, oh, he's right. Everyone's going to think that about me, like, blah, blah, blah. But then I had to realize that he's one person and there's 7 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. So his opinion really doesn't matter, and it shouldn't have that big of an effect on me.
Yeah. So. And the only person's opinion that should matter is our own. Mm-hmm. Right.
And my mom's.
And your mom's. Yes, of course. And well, if your mom's opinion is supportive, and I want to dive into that because I know what a massive encouragement she is and the stuff that she's done to really propel your career forward as well. But going back to what you said, because I want to touch on this for my listeners, it's like, it's interesting as kids, you know, you don't know any better. And what you do is you listen to these adult figures who you think, well, hopefully think that have your best interest to some degree. I know some people are born into families that are just really challenging. And then others, you know, on different spectrums, but ultimately we look up to these adults because as kids we're trying to figure life out. Mm-hmm. And then when they say something to us, it can be like we take it on as truth. And I love that your 11-year-old brain, even though maybe it believed it for a tiny bit or had you question yourself, that you went to go, no, that's not true. And I really believe that that's even the work as adults that we should do, is like question everything. You know, if you have a negative thought about yourself, where did that even come from? Mm-hmm. Did you and did that come from someone else? Or if you decided it, what had you decide that? And is it even true? So I love that you, again, didn't fall prey to that and continue to forward yourself and your passion. I know there's something else that you decided in that moment, though, too, that I'm going to show him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
tell us about that, girl.
Once I got through like that little period of time where I was like, oh my gosh, my life is falling apart, I'm dying, oh my god. It changed from, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for me, to like, no, make him feel bad. Like, I just wanted to switch it, and I'm sure, I am 100% sure, even though I don't obviously talk to him anymore and I never see him, obviously, I know that he regrets what I said, and I'm sure he's watching all these things I'm doing, and I'm just like, I'm just so mad about it. But that makes me so happy. I'm like, good, you should feel bad for what you did. And also what really sucks is that he's done this to multiple people. not kicked them out, but a few of the people that I went to the studio with at that time, they've kind of come out of the woodworks, because I think I posted one time me telling the story on my Instagram, and a few people that went to the studio at the same time commented, oh yeah, he did that to me too, like he was body shaming, he treated me so bad, made me feel so insecure, and all these different things, and he's still doing it today. I mean, I just talked to a mom the other day who lived in Colorado, and one of her daughter's friends that went there for a little bit said that she left because she was starting to feel so bad about herself, like, because of how he was treating her. Mm. And it's just, I don't know how in 2019 you can still be treating people that way. I mean, we shouldn't have been treating people that way ever, but let alone, you know, right now. I mean, we've made so much progress in, like, the body positivity community, and there's still a long way to go, obviously, but I just still can't believe there's people out there that think that, you know, body types mean everything. It's just crazy.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What do body types mean?
Well, like I just said, I feel like in a lot of places, they kind of determine how your life's going to be. And that's really sad because, like I said, I've been this size my whole life, and I know that my life would be so different if I would have looked more normal. And I'm doing quotations because there's no such thing as looking normal. but at the same time, even though my life maybe would have been a little bit easier, and maybe I would have been able to do some other cool things that I haven't been able to do because people still have so many stigmas around body type, I also wouldn't have been given the opportunity to inspire the people that I have or to travel the world talking about these issues and performing and making such statements in all these different places. So I'm also very thankful and grateful that I am different because if I wasn't, I'd just be another person, just another dancer.
Yeah. You know? And I want to point that out because I think a lot of times when people look at those who maybe have extra weight on them, right, or they judge them as fat, the assumption always is you're not healthy, mm-hmm. you're just gorging on mm-hmm. fast food or sitting around watching TV eating bonbons, whatever mm-hmm. that thing is, not being healthy, not exercising. Mm-hmm. And girl, I know you crush it. Every day yeah. in classes, on stage. So you're very active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think people really need to get out of their head. And I know it's hard. And I always think to myself, like, sometimes it's not even their fault. It's like society's fault. And it's these magazines and social media and TV shows that don't show us in a good light. You know, we're always the joke. We're always the butt. We're never just the girl that this cute boy falls in love with. Never. And so I think it's not even their fault. It's just they've been brainwashed.
It's the conditioning.
Yeah. And so without those things, the world would be completely different. And maybe we'd be more positive and more accepting of people. I totally, like, got sidetracked.
No, you did real good, girl.
but.
Yeah, no, it was really a matter of people understanding that just because your physical body type is the way it is doesn't mean that you are not healthy. Because yes. I know that you are. And you even, like, what you put into your nutrition is also very healthy as well.
Yes. Thank you. I was like, oh, my God, I totally forgot. But, yeah, it's always funny to me when people make these comments like, oh, you must eat McDonald's every day or you just sit around. And I'm like, okay, like, this is a dance video. And you're literally saying, oh, all you do is sit around all day. And I'm like,
oh, wow, when you're on a dance video.
I'm like, clearly not. But, yeah, I get those comments all the time where, like, people assuming that, you know, I'm unhealthy and it's my choice to look this way. And, no, it is not my choice to look this way. I am healthy, but healthy doesn't mean skinny. As long as I'm healthy on the inside and I'm treating my body right and I'm exercising and doing all these things, it doesn't matter what you look like. As long as you're healthy. And healthy doesn't mean skinny. You know what I mean? Those things don't translate to one another. But even if I did have a choice, I'd look this way. Because like I said, it's given me so many opportunities and I've traveled the world and I've performed with all these amazing artists because of that. And because they, like, respect what I do and they realize that, you know, plus size people need to be heard and that we're not just a joke and we're not a gimmick and we can do what all these skinny people can do.
Yeah. I mean, I really believe that there's, gosh, the world would experience so much more peace if we would just seriously stop judging each other. Mm-hmm. If we can actually accept that we come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and really the ultimate threat is that we're human beings who just want to love and to be loved and not be told how we're supposed to be or to be mm-hmm. criticized. And it's, you're right. It's like a lot of it is the conditioning of society. And even that dance teacher, mm-hmm. That's his lesson to learn is maybe a bit more acceptance for himself. Because mm-hmm. then if he did, then maybe there would be less judgment on others. But I love how this has been a catalyst for you and also to inspire other people to own their bodies, to mm-hmm. love their bodies, and to really be who they are and to go after their dreams no matter what.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you talk about your mama and how she mm-hmm. has been so instrumental in how you've really moved yourself forward and even how she, it's almost, I don't know why this is coming up in my head, it's like how she screws your head back on, right? When the moments of challenge, right? We need mm-hmm. people to do that for us sometimes when we lose our minds sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. If I didn't have a mother like mine, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know what I'd be doing. She's definitely like, she's everything. She's my best friend. She's my manager. She's like my voice of reason. She's everything. But she's so supportive and she's amazing. She's like a super mom. She put me in dance when I was 2. She knew I loved it. And even when I started getting like around 7 and 8 and she realized that people were, you know, whispering or talking behind my back or saying these different things, she didn't care. And she didn't let that affect her or let it affect me. And I know that I've actually talked to a few people who their moms, they were in dance and might have not fit the body mold that dancers are supposed to have. And their parents take them out. But I don't want to make that a negative thing because the parents are just trying to look out for their kids. You know what I mean? They don't want them to get low self-esteem or to get bullied or anything like that, which I completely understand. And that's a really hard choice to make. But I'm glad my mom, you know, even though I might have been getting told some bad things or getting just bullied a little bit, I was never severely bullied except for that dance teacher, which was definitely bullying. But I was lucky enough to have some really amazing friends that were very supportive and understanding. But she never let me stop dancing because she knew it was what I was most passionate about. So even when that studio director did that and, you know, kind of broke my heart a little bit and got me feeling down, one thing that I really think was a good parenting move on her part is she didn't baby me about it. She didn't go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry he said that to you. Oh, I feel so bad for you. She didn't do that. Like she, even though I had a moment of doubt and kind of sadness, she immediately was like, okay, we'll just go somewhere else. We'll dance somewhere else and you'll train and you'll prove him wrong and do all these different things. And I think that, you know, it's really easy. I mean, not that I'm a mom at all, but I can imagine that as a mom, it's really easy to just baby your kid because you don't want them to feel bad or you don't want them to feel sad, so you just coddle them. But by doing that, that might actually make it worse. And so I think by her kind of being like, okay, put your big girl panties on, like you need to go do a different dance studio and work hard and prove him wrong. So I think that's one of the best things she's done for me is getting me through that, obviously. And just on a completely different level, she's, like I said, she's so supportive. I mean, we lived in Fort Collins, which no one's going to know where this is, but we lived really far north. And I went to school in Denver, which is about an hour drive. And then I danced for a year in Colorado Springs, which is another hour drive the opposite way from where we live. And so every day she'd do that, and then we'd have to drive home like 2 hours every day.
So that is love.
Yeah, she and I think she did that because she knew that I wasn't just another dancer. She knew that there was something special about me that I needed to be dancing. And there was a reason why I have to dance. So she would do anything, like literally anything. I mean, for about like 3 or 4 months, we drove. I didn't drive. I was only like 12. But she drove 16 hours each way to California so I could be a part of this hip hop crew. And that was before we moved to
Latin
LA.
Flava.
Yep, Latin Flava, which was me and a few other of, you know, I wasn't known at the time at all, but a few of the more known kid dancers at that time. And yeah, she drove me all that way so I could kind of get used to LA and try to make a name for myself. And Then she picked up everything, left her job, left her other kids, and moved to LA so I could pursue, you know, my dreams and pursue my passion, which is like unheard of.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got very lucky with the mom I have. And she's never doubted me for a second, no matter what people say to her. She knows it's what I'm meant to do.
Yeah. So.
She's amazing, obviously.
Obviously. Everybody needs a mama like Amanda's mom, yes. Like your mom.
Yes.
Because I want to go back to what you said about how she didn't baby you. I think that there's so much power in that because oftentimes what I've witnessed in people, because I work with people in coaching and also in hypnosis, and when they recount their stories of the past and what they went through, there's this level of feeling sorry for yourself when you hit a hard point or when you get a rejection. And so that feeling sorry for yourself is so ingrained, and it's such a painful feeling. We don't want to feel that again, so we try to avoid it at all costs, which then has us avoid taking risks and doing things. And if you see that, hey, if there is an obstacle in your way, if someone tells you something you don't want to hear, or maybe something didn't work out in the way you wanted it to, that instead of just sitting in your own misery and feeling sorry for yourself, pick yourself up, pivot, and go forward again. And your mom was such an example of that. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've thrown myself a pity party here and there.
Oh, I have too. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm perfect. I never get down on myself.
Yeah, but having somebody who can show you the way that there's another way to respond to a situation instead of reacting from the fear-based place. And I want to highlight this because I've heard you say this. You said, I'm never going to let anyone dictate my life. After that whole experience with that teacher, it's like that one person's opinion isn't going to stop you, and that you just keep choosing to move forward powerfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe your mom drove 16 hours.
I know.
Round trip.
I know.
Every weekend.
And now that I drive, we went back to Colorado a couple months ago, and I only drove like 4 hours of it, and I was like, I'm dying. I'm dead. Like, can you please drive? I can't. I was like, I can only imagine, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What have been some of the other – because your mom obviously has a very strong foundation of seeing vision, believing in it, and going after it. What have been some of the other powerful messages from your mom that have supported you in your success?
I mean, she, even though this isn't a negative message, but it might not sound the best, but she's always said, you know, not to trust people. Or at least when I moved to LA, she'd just make sure that because I'm a person where I want to believe the best in everyone. So I'm like, oh, no, like, they really care. Like, they care about me. I promise, Mom. And she's like, okay, just, like, be really careful. And so I feel like a lot of people move to LA and they have to kind of learn that the hard way. And, yes, we had some, like, friends or whatever kind of backstab us. But I was lucky enough that I realized that right when I moved here. And so I was really careful with who I put myself around and who I trusted and who, you know, I trusted with my career as well, with my agents and things like that. I was very careful. And I think that, I mean, she was like made to be a manager. She's not technically, but I tell her, I'm like, you need to start a management company. I'm like, she does so much for my career. It's insane. And I feel like everyone deserves a manager like her.
Yeah. Well, even that hip hop group that you were a part of, she was one that found them right on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she stalked them, got you in there, drove back in round trip 16 hours.
Yeah.
Like, she goes for it. And I also want to highlight that, like, it's not that you just sat around and waited for opportunity to happen. Like, your mother, and you, every time she would find the opportunity and go for it, you'd follow right behind her footsteps and say, I'm right there. Let's do this.
Yeah. She went out and grabbed the opportunities. They didn't just fall on my lap. It's crazy. I mean, sometimes I wouldn't want to do all the things that she said because they'd be crazy. And, you know, I mean, even right now, yesterday I did like 3 or 4 interviews or process. And I was like, Mom, no, like, please, like, I'm so tired, like, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, no, these are things that add up, and you never know what can lead to this and this, and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And she's always right, of course, because she's my mom. She's always right. But just even though sometimes it's hard for me and I'm tired and I don't want to do this, and I always know she's right. And she's gotten me so many opportunities that not even my agents or managers have gotten me. Like,
wow.
It's crazy. She, yeah.
What are ways that you've learned how to discern who to keep close to you and who not to?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I don't even think I know, like, there's no right answer, but I don't even think I have a perfect answer for that. But I know for me, it's I keep my friend circle very small, and I really have to know someone before I let them in completely. And there's been some people where I've been friends with them for years, but they're still not, like, the closest to me. And I want to say I have two main people that are my best friends, and I've known them since the very, like, first time I moved here. Not first time I moved here. I didn't move twice. But, you know, like, the first month I moved here, I met them. And I just clicked with them immediately, and we went to school together. We danced together, and now they're both in college. And I'm really
How
sad.
How dare they?
I know. How dare you go to college and get an education? No, I'm kidding. But at least they're both in California still.
Oh, perfect.
But they're not as close to me as they were, and I can't see them as much as I used to.
I mean, girl, you're sitting here flying around to New York City and all around the world to dance with Katy Perry, Rihanna, Lizzo, you know, all those people. You're keeping yourself
busy.
Yeah.
But I would just say I keep my circle really small, and I don't, since I'm already in the industry, or I'm always talking or what am I trying to say? Since my life is pretty much already all about the industry, I don't have that many friends that are professionals, just because I want to have friends that I can go to and talk about something other than that audition today. Or did you get booked, or did you see that? I'm like, I don't care. Can I talk about anything else? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of keep myself away from the industry a little bit, just because also I don't want to talk about it all the time. But at the same time, I know that there are a lot of people that want to cheat people, and they only want to use you. And now that I'm at the point where I'm very lucky, but now that I'm at the point where I'm kind of starting to get a name for myself and I'm gaining popularity and doing all these amazing things, a lot of people have tried to kind of come out of the woodwork all of a sudden and be like, oh my God, hi, Amanda. And it's just, you can tell that they're fakey. And so I always try to kind of keep my distance from them, not be mean. I don't think it's ever okay to be mean or standoffish to anyone, but just be careful around them.
Yeah. It's such a competitive industry.
Yes.
Entertainment, anything is so competitive. You've been knocking it out of the park. What do you see has had you rise above all the others to get yourself booked?
I think there's a few different things that are a little different about me. I don't want to say that I'm so special, because that just sounds like cocky and weird. But I think even though I'm not the best dancer, like, I know that. I know I'm not the best dancer, even in LA. Nope, not even close. But I work hard. I have a great work ethic, and I perform like nobody else can. And that's something that it took me a while to kind of realize, because I'm a person who doesn't really like to compliment myself often. Not because I don't love myself. I love myself. Don't get that wrong.
Okay. I was about to course correct that one. Thank you for doing it yourself.
Who doesn't like to be, oh yeah, you're so amazing, because then your head just, no. And I definitely don't want to be that person who's really annoying and talking about themselves all the time. But I just have learned that when I perform, people feel a different way than when anybody else performs. And I make them just happy. And I don't know what it is about me. I don't even know. And I'm the person. But I think it's just, I do it from my heart, and it's genuine and it's authentic. And it's like, I just love dance so much. It just like bursts out of me, and it just, it fills up the energy. It fills up the room with my energy. And it's just something that not everyone has. And so I think that's one thing that makes me different. And also, I just think it's important to be a nice person. You know, I've worked with so many people that not are mean, but either they have a big head, or, you know, they don't say hi to everyone, or they're just kind of rude, and or they're rude to the assistants and people that might not be the highest of highest or whatever. And I just think that the small things are what matter the most. Because I've gotten a few jobs now where, you know, the assistant has told this producer about my name, or all these different things. So you always should be nice to people, not just to get more jobs, but just to be a good human. And I think being a good human can get you a long way.
Yeah. I heard a theme in those two things that you shared, and it's the leading from your heart. So, like, you dance from your heart, and you lead with your heart with other people around you, that you just exude kindness. And you could feel that the moment you walked in the door. I was like, hey, girl. And the way you smile, it's just like joy. Your essence is joy and kindness. So it's people can feel it too. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you're like, I can feel when people are being fakey. You could feel the energy when people are truly being kind and authentic, and you can feel when they're doing it because they want something. Mm-hmm. And when you just entrain yourself to be a joyful person and to love yourself, not in a narcissistic way, but where you're good with yourself, then you can actually truly be kind and good with other people. So I really love that. What was your first, like, biggest dance gig? Was that with Katy Perry? Or was that with?
I would go ahead and say yeah. I did a few like dance commercials before that, but my first big job that I was super excited about was the Katy Perry video.
And how did that happen?
Yeah, it was crazy. I actually almost didn't even. There wasn't an audition. Okay, let me explain. So it was a contest on social media, and she pretty much made a video saying, I'm going to choose one dancer to be in my video. All you have to do is post your dancing to my song and then tag me or something. And I saw it, and I originally wasn't going to do it just because I was like, oh, so many people are going to submit for this. She's probably going to choose a little kid, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. But then I saw all my friends doing it, and I saw all these different people, and I was like, okay, why not? Like, it's not that hard. Like, just go to a studio, film a little dance video. That's all you have to do because you don't want to miss, you know, the opportunity just in case. But I really, like, I did not think I had any chance. Like, you can ask my mom. I was like, oh, I just did it just in case, you know, but I'm definitely not going to get it. And I mean, the video wasn't even that great. I went to this studio. I rented it for like 30 minutes, had my really cheap phone. It wasn't even an iPhone. It was like an Android or something that I had at the time. Set it up on the ballet bar and just self-recorded me one time. And I was like, that's good enough, whatever. And then, yeah, I posted it, and I ended up getting chosen somehow. But when I met her, she came up to me, and oh, my gosh, first of all, meeting her was so cool. And she was so nice and such a genuine person. But she actually handpicked me. So that was cool to know because I thought for sure it was going to be producer, assistant, you know, someone like that, not actually her. But it was her. And she just came up to me, and she was like, yeah, I love your message. I love everything you stand for. And there was just something about you. And it was interesting that she said that because my whole life, people always tell me, like, I don't know what it is, but there's just, like, something when you dance. And I'm like, okay, can you be a little more specific? Like, what is it?
Break it down for me.
And they're just like, I don't know. Like, just when you perform, I can't stop watching you. And I'm like, thank you, but I wish I knew, what it was. But it was just kind of funny that she said that. Like, even someone who isn't obviously in the dance world at all and doesn't know much about dance can see something that's not like everyone else. And she saw probably thousands of people dancing to her song, doing similar probably dance moves that I did. But there was still something that came across that was different than everyone else.
Yeah, but you know this. It's probably, it's your heart, it's your ability to perform, and it was just you in full expression. I mean, I know, I feel the same. Like, I love dance. I watch all the dance shows out there. Oh, my God, America's Best Dance Crew, which is not on the air anymore, but World of Dance, So You Think You Could Dance. And you can't, of course, sometimes you can watch and you're like, wow, technically, they're
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. But then there's those dancers, same thing, you watch, and it's they make you feel a certain way. It's like any sort of art. You know, you listen to music, and you might not be like, oh, I love the beat. No, it's like all of it together, it moves you in some way. And I really think that that's when you choose to do something that you absolutely love and you lose yourself in it, that's when people feel it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always encourage people, connect to what you really love. And just allow yourself to do it, and the path will unfold in front of you of the how. Because people will feel it, and they will want to pay for it, or they'll want you to be a part of it, which is what you did. So, like, that's so rad. I know there you've mentioned before that still sometimes, even though there's so much positivity on your posts and about you online, you still sometimes can get the hurtful comment here and there. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, it's always hard, and I feel like different people obviously have different ways they take it or respond to it. For me, I try most of the time not to say anything on social media, at least if they comment something, just because, you know, I don't really know their life. I don't know why they said that. And honestly, their opinions of me are none of my business. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's your opinion. It's not
my opinion.
So I don't want it anywhere near me. but there are a few times, very few, where if I see a comment and I have a good response to it that's not mean, not attacking them, not saying you're a terrible person or anything like that, I'll do it more as a joke, kind of. Just because I see sometimes people immediately start to, like, attack them and they become, like, defensive. And I get why, obviously. It hurts when someone says something bad about you and your art and what you love. But I don't think that's the best way to do it, because then it just escalates even more and no one benefits from that. But an example of one time I commented is someone put, like, oh, there's no way you're a professional dancer. No one would ever book you. And I said, like, oh, you're right. Only Katy Perry, Meghan Trainor, and Ellen, sorry, or something like that. And so I always try to come back with something that's honestly just factual.
Yeah.
And just kind of more funny, where it's not like, you know what, I've worked so much and you don't know. But, like, that just – why waste your energy with that?
And, you know, I think what also, too, whenever we get defensive, right, it's actually just illuminating within us where we're not right within our own selves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if someone says something and it actually – we take it in and it hurts, mm-hmm. it's because we probably to some degree feel that way. Mm-hmm. Versus for you, you're like, whatever, I don't care. That's fine. Here, I'm going to send something that's kind of funny but not hurtful. And again, we said this before. Here you are. This is that kindness, Amanda, coming through. It's really beautiful. I would love for you to share about the Breaking the Stereotype hashtag. Mm-hmm. That you created and that you're spreading worldwide. What does that mean to you?
It's so weird to think that 2 years ago it didn't exist, because now it's such a huge part of, honestly, my identity and, like, my career, that if I wouldn't have come up with it, I honestly don't know where I'd be right now. But Breaking the Stereotype is a hashtag I created, I believe, the summer of 2017 or 16. I can't quite remember, but it was around 2 to 2.5 years ago. And I was just sitting in my car. My mom was driving, and we were going somewhere. And I was scrolling through my social media, and I saw a few of my friends kind of made their own hashtag. But most of them were either just, like, their name or how old they are or something. And they were mostly doing it so they can, like, look back when they're older. And I was like, okay, I want my own hashtag, but I don't want it just to be my name or something kind of more generic. I want it to be something that is important to me and kind of summarizes, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish with my career or what my message is. And I came up with Breaking the Stereotype because, I mean, if you don't know what I look like, I mean, or if you haven't figured it out from all these questions so far, I am a bigger girl. I'm a plus-size dancer. And a lot of people told me, you know, I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't be anything. It'd be a mistake moving to LA. No one's going to book you because of your size and all these different things. Pretty much telling me that my body isn't going to get me anywhere. And unless I get skinny, I'm not going to get successful. And so I came up with Breaking the Stereotype, and I just started putting it under my videos. I didn't think people were going to really notice it or pick it up. I was just doing it more for me. And then just people really responded well to it, and I think it was something that was relatable and a lot of people, like I said, could relate to. And then it just kind of became my whole thing, and it's like almost a movement. A movement now.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that people are getting inspired from it, and I don't know. I just when I came up with it, I really never thought it'd be anything. But yeah, and I mean, like, it's pretty self-explanatory. But Breaking the Stereotype, like I said, is just all about trying to inspire people to do what they love, no matter what stereotypes they may or may not fit into. And just, you know, you only have one life, so you should do what you want to, and yeah, just don't care what other people think. And no matter what you look like, sound like, I don't know, what your religion is, race, color, gender, identity, anything like that, you can do whatever you want with your life. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've totally broken the stereotype with how you've shown up in the work that you do, and moved even beyond that success, right? Because I think where you're going, especially with your messaging, it's, yes, you are a dancer, but you're so much more than that. You are someone who has a powerful message to share that you, again, can do anything and to take the limits off. Because a lot of those people, that were telling you, you can't do this, you're not the right size, you're never going to be successful, that was all their projections mm-hmm. of their own limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of times, well, this is what I've learned. Number one, mind the source. Where is this advice or thought coming from? Is it mm-hmm. from someone who, you know, you really appreciate or someone who you see as a good source to listen to their advice?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it someone who just wants to spew their limitations onto you?
Yeah, because I definitely, there have been some people where I know it's coming from a place of genuine, like, concern, and they just want the best for me. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but it's not really, you know, your place to tell me what I should do with my life. But I definitely respond better to the people who I can tell actually care about me rather than the people who are like, oh, blah, 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 like, you're so fat, like, blah, blah, you're not going to make it, blah, 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 all these different things, because that's not coming from a place of anywhere good. It's nope. coming from a place of negativity and purposely trying to tear me down, which I don't obviously appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, yeah, mind the source, right? You just don't know. Well, and you said this earlier, too, when people write hurtful comments on social media, you're like, I don't know what they're going through mm-hmm. or what they're experiencing for them to need to write such negativity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing of paying attention to. But again, people so often, and because I did this before, I would crowdsource advice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I didn't have my own self-confidence and trust of self, I would ask people, what should I do? What do you think about this? And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I would take the advice of people who really had, you know, really no weight of, one, like you said, having my best interest, but two, maybe haven't even done what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to give advice from a place of mm-hmm. not having done it before. But
yeah.
But I would still take it on. And so now I've really learned, like, be mindful of the source of where this advice is coming from, where you're even asking for it, but then ultimately trusting yourself and your intuition of knowing what's right and best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or
definitely.
Ask your mama.
Or mom. Or mama's the answer.
Or ask your mama. Yeah. What would you like to tell people who maybe struggle with their own body type? Like, what are some of the most powerful bits of wisdom that you could share with people when they – and it might not just be their body. It could be something else mm-hmm. that they really struggle with internally.
Yeah. I would say one thing that even though I was always very confident and I've never – I don't want to say I've never been insecure. I definitely have. And even today, I still have days where I'm not feeling the best or I'm like, oh, I don't look good in that outfit. I would just say that a big part of where my few times of insecurity came from is comparing myself to other people. And I know it's really easy. Even walking down the street, you're like, you don't even realize you're doing it. But every time you probably look at someone, you start to compare yourself to them in your head. And it's not good for anybody. And it's only going to hurt you. And there's no reason for it. You know, they're living a different life. They've been through different things that you have. And it's like comparing apples and oranges. You can't do that. They're completely different. They're similar, but they're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was probably like the biggest mistakes I made growing up. Like every time I went to school, I'd be like, oh, my outfit is so bad. Like, look at her. Like, she's so pretty and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, then it's making insecurities in your head. Like, you make your own insecurities. And if you would just realize that, you know, everyone's born different, we're not going to look the same. Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's just, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you get the message. And also just realizing that, you know, like I said, there's been a few times I'm sure where I've been more insecure and every once in a while I'm like, oh, like, maybe life would be easier if I'm really skinny or maybe blah, 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 all these different things. It's like, okay, well, I'm here. This is what I look like. This is who I am. And I have one life. There's no point in me spending my whole life trying to please other people. And honestly, society's never going to be pleased. Even if I was really skinny, they'd still,
so true.
They'd still poke at something. They'd be like, oh, your freckles are ugly. Like, I don't know. They'd still find a way to try to make you feel insecure. And so there's no point trying to please society that will never be pleased.
Mm-hmm. So you just got to please yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yes.
That's a big message. And then the loving yourself is in a general way of like being in total acceptance of, you know, who you are, how you look. And if there are things you want to shift that are within your power to do mm-hmm. it, absolutely take
yeah.
the action. But do it from a place of bettering mm-hmm. yourself versus from a place yes. of judging yourself.
And do it for you, not yes. for other people. Yeah. If you're doing it for you, I don't care what you do. If you're happy, that's great.
Yeah. Have you seen yourself grow through this process of dancing?
It's weird because I feel like I'm very much the same person. Like, I feel like I'm the same six-year-old in dance class. Like, I just love it and I want to do it all the time. But I also feel like even though, like I've said this 100 times, even though I have always been really confident, I think from dancing and having so many people tell me, like, blah, 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 you're too fat, you're not skinny enough, your body type's an issue, you're ugly, whatever. All these different things, I've got a really thick skin now. And it's taught me self-love even more than I did in the beginning. And I think it's just made me a stronger person. And I'm, like, almost invincible now. Like, you can't do anything. And yes. I feel like it just dances who I am. Like, it's not a hobby. It's not even a job. It's, like, what I'm meant to do with my yep. life. It's my calling. It's even though calling. It's so, like, cheesy. Like,
it's true, though.
Like, what else would I be doing? Nothing.
Seriously. And Amanda, like, again, like, look, everyone has their own form of expression. Mm-hmm. And that's why, again, can't compare, right? And for you, your expression is through movement. It's through your performance. And people, again, feel it. They're moved by it. They can't explain what the heck it is. But they're like, this girl right here. I love it and I want more. And that's when you know that that is your calling and you can't compare that. Because the way that you answer your call is the way someone would answer it totally differently. Mm-hmm. Even if you say we're both dancers, you can't express yourself in the same exact way. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Ditch the comparison. That was my kryptonite for a very long time. I'm still working through that because it mm-hmm. pops up every now and then, that yeah. comparison.
I don't think anyone's ever going to be over it. I just think we can work on it.
Absolutely.
And tame it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, it's like the moment I see it, I nip it in the bud. It's like being aware when it comes up mm-hmm. and being willing to shift it. And my old self, when I was really working through it, when I needed to put more attention on it. Now it's fast and it's I can move through it quicker. Mm-hmm. But when I was really struggling, the moment I would catch myself in comparison, I would pause, put my hands on my heart, and actually say like 3 things that I wanted to validate myself for to override the crap that just went up in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So I got a few more questions for you to close this out. What is something unique about you that most people don't know?
Oh, what is something unique about me that most people don't know? Oh, I'm trying to think. I'm like very much an open book. I feel like on social media, if I have something to say, I'll say it. And I feel like a lot of my, I don't say fans because I don't think of them as fans, but a lot of the people that watch my stuff know a lot about me. Let's see. I would say maybe this isn't unique about me, but it's kind of more of like a fun fact. My dream in life is to be a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh,
that
girl.
That is my dream. If someone wants to make that happen, that'd be great. No, but that's like, if I got that, I'd cry. I'd like fall on the floor.
You're like dead.
Yes. I'd do a death job. but that's my biggest dream. I'm obsessed with that show. I've seen every season like 10 times.
Wow.
I know, like, everything about that show. So if I was ever a guest judge, or if I got to, like, I don't know, choreograph or something, I would die.
So I started getting goosies, which I have a very good feeling that it's going to happen.
I hope so.
Especially with your mama as your manager. She's going to be like, step aside. My girl is going to be on RuPaul's show. So I have a really good feeling about that for you.
I really hope so. I would literally, like, both my best friends, literally, they know I would die. And that's, like, my biggest dream.
Well, I don't think they want you to die, but they know that you're going to be on it. No, I'm
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Amanda, stay alive. You're about to be on the show. When you're in a dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Just talking to my mom, I would say. I am very close to my mom. I tell her everything. I'm still a teenager, but even when I was in that, like, teenager period where you're just an angry teen and you hate your parents, I would still tell her everything. Even if we just had a fight and I'm like getting down, I'm like, Mom, can I talk to you? Yeah, like, she's, if I didn't have her, I don't know what I'd be doing. But yeah.
Beautiful. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
I would.
Or even that 11-year-old.
Yeah. 'Cause
I think you said you were 11, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would say that all the people that are about to tear you down and say terrible things about you are going to regret it one day, and you're going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. I don't have any advice because she did pretty darn good.
She did pretty darn good. Amanda, thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course, this is so fun.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your light and really about spreading such a positive message that I know a lot of people really need to hear because, gosh, I know so many people who sit in self-judgment and wish that they were different other than they were, and you're just about owning it, loving yourself, and doing what you love, mm-hmm. and dictating your own future.
Woo, yes.
Yeah. I just love Amanda's sweet soul, and I'm so inspired by how she's become a role model to celebrate body diversity and acceptance through her body positivity movement. And hearing Amanda's story, you guys, it is so important to be your own advocate as you're going after your dreams and to make sure that you're surrounded by people who breathe life into you and your dreams too. Now, all the rest of the doubters or the haters, you gotta shut them out. And bottom line, you do not need anyone's approval to succeed. You know, this reminds me of a dear friend in college who had something she really wanted to achieve. And I hate to say this, but I was kind of a jerk off and I kept questioning her and whether what she wanted was even possible. And I remember when she stopped me and she said, "Stephanie, a friend doesn't always believe in your dreams, but they have to believe in you. Are you my friend or not?" Yeah. So I shut my mouth and I knew that my job wasn't about thinking that I knew what was possible for her or being the doubter, but my job was to choose to believe in my friend and to support her along the way because that's what friends do and that's how I will always want to show up for the people that I love. And I saw that as I chose to believe in her and to stay focused on what's possible, well, that started to bleed into my life. And I started to shift my own voice of doubt and my insecurities. And I started again to breathe life into what was possible for me. Now, if you're going after your dreams and you want to release whatever's holding you back and you want to actually experience fulfillment going towards your dreams, then you got to start turning down the voice of self-judgment, self-doubt, or comparison. And you got to turn up the voice of self-love and encouragement. Because when you've got your own back, and you're letting the voice of self-love lead you, this radically shifts your journey as you're going after what you want. And if you're stuck and you're just watching time pass, not going after your dreams, then the voice of self-love will get you into action so that you can make it happen. So if you want support with turning down the voice of self-doubt, self-judgment, or shame, or comparison, and you want to turn up the voice of love and that badass cheerleading and championing, then you definitely want to check out my Self-Love Transformation online course that shows you specific steps and daily practices to release any negative self-talk and beliefs and to replace them with love so that you can come back to your truth and fully rise up to achieve your dreams and ultimately to feel really damn good. So get ready to become the vibration of love, to easily attract what you want through my self-love course. It will get you there. Or another pathway is through upgrading your beliefs. So I've got another online course. It's called Believe. It's my self-hypnosis mastery program that shows you how to partner with your mind to get out of your own way and reprogram your beliefs to easily have all the things that you want. So whether that's love, money, better health, you name it, your beliefs create your reality. And if you don't like what you're seeing in your reality, you gotta do the inner work to change your subconscious to beliefs to align with what you want so that you can have it with greater ease. Now, if you're interested in either course, go to my website, stephaniekwong.com click on the Work With Me section and then hit the online course button, and you're going to find all the information to both of those courses there. All right, so to close this out, if there's someone that you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you want to connect with Amanda and to learn more about her hashtag Breaking the Stereotype movement, you can get all of that info in the show notes. And that is over at stephaniekwong.com/EP64. Okay, my friends, until next time, as always, I'm sending you so much love.